Welcome back. You're on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you, and it's time to talk some Sporting Kansas City as a couple of red-hot teams are going to collide on Sunday, 5 o'clock. Sporting Park is the location. Sporting Kansas City hosts the Columbus Crew. We talk sporting, always brought to you by, when we talk sporting, always brought to you by Corona, Corona Light, and of course the new Corona Premier. Went to the movies with a buddy of mine, and I've converted him. He is now a Corona Premier fan, and had a couple of Corona premieres before the movie. So Corona, proud sponsor of Sporting Kansas City. Let's talk to the manager, Peter Vermees. He's with us on our Sprint guest line. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well, Soren. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well, very well. Much better than the last time we chatted. That's a joke for you and I. Maybe we'll share in the future someday. But the team doing well. Although I would think this is one of those, it's always good to get a point on the road, but you had to come away from the game last weekend feeling like you were the superior team and there were a couple of points that were left on the board.
Yeah, very true. Very accurate, but at the same time, what I leave, a game like that, and I say to myself, when we dominated in almost every category on the field, and playing away from home and knowing how hard it is in this league and in our sport to get points on the road is always a difficult thing for us to be able to do that. And you know me, I don't make excuses, but I will tell you, playing on that turf that is in that stadium is not an easy one, especially with the way we like to play and how fast we like to play, especially with the ball.
Right.
It has a real impact on the match. But the great thing is, physically, we probably the final 30 minutes, they couldn't breathe anymore. We were all over them. And I leave the game, as you say, maybe disappointed not getting three, but fully aware that, we dominated the game in every category and we got the point on the road. And it's something that I don't necessarily know if we could have done last year in that situation.
So tell me about the turf, because I hear Matt Beasler talk about that a lot on his conversations with the Border Patrol. I think anybody who's been around, I mean, if you coach or play and the difference between grass and turf, okay, we get it. And the rubber pellets, which are the modern synthetic turf that's out there, every synthetic field is not the same, is one of the things I'm hearing. And I've coached peewee soccer, right, on that kind of surface, and I see how fast the ball is compared to what the practices are. What are the problems it presents? I get it that it's different, but what problems, what challenges, how does it change the game for you guys?
So when you come to our games, you always see that prior to warm-ups and also prior to the start of the first half and then the start of the second half, we water the field. And one of the reasons why we do that is because we want the ball to not get stuck in the grass, right? So we want it to move quickly. Problem with the turf is, even if you wet it, when it's hot out, it evaporates immediately. So it's more you do it because you're supposed to, but it doesn't really hold. And so now the ball just sticks to the turf, especially when the guy's dribbling. And then some of the turfs that are out there, they just slow the ball down even more. And so now the speed of the game is completely affected. And then also the way the guy wants to dribble. It changes the game immensely. And so for a team like us that is on the ball a lot and has the ball a lot in the game, it affects our style of play.
So it's more about, but the different fields, I mean, everyone has its own nuance, but it's more about the climate than it is actually the structure of the field. Is that right?
The structure can have something to do with it, but meaning there are some fields that are better than others for sure, where they have longer, strands of the grass, if you will.
Okay.
So that helps, because it can also cushion the ball. If you play a ball over distance and you want it to check up, in grass you can make it check up, whereas sometimes on turf it just skips through. If the turf is a little bit longer in length, you can now almost play it like, a golf shot where you check it up and spin it back a little bit so it holds up for a player when you're playing it behind the back line. That's one. The other is that what happens is when you get into the warmer days, that when you're on that turf, it's one thing to be on turf when it's 90 degrees out and being on turf, and there's a difference when you're on grass. And so it's a lot hotter on the turf, and the sun just bakes, you know, just basically steals the water that you put on there right off. Whereas on the grass, it lasts a lot longer because the moisture is actually sucked up by the actual, you know, the grass itself because it's real.
All right, let's talk about the goal that was allowed against Minnesota. You know, you can always I always like to watch the reaction of all the guys and see where they look and what's going on. It clearly, you know, a guy got lost. Is there supposed to be a handoff there? I'm not trying to get you to call out anybody, but I mean, there was clearly a breakdown. Correct?
There were in that play. There were a minimum of four mistakes. Jimmy Madranda stepped to the ball when it was in the midfield and didn't need to and should have delayed. So when he stepped, he opened up the space for their player to play the ball diagonally down the line.
Okay.
So now Bees has to leave the center and goes out to the guy who gets the ball because he's behind Jimmy and that's kind of his responsibility. Well, he goes, he doesn't block the cross, never gets close enough to the guy. Ilya is running back. His job is to get to the near post space if Bees leaves. He's running next to the player, Quintero, who actually winds up getting the header, but he's running back with him. So you got to do one of two things. You're either running back to the spot you're supposed to be in, or you take care of the man. So he did neither. Ike went with his man. The guy gets the header. You know, unfortunately, from Timmy's perspective, that was a routine save. He should have, you know, he should have caught it. He parried it down. Guy gets the rebound and knocks in the back of the net. So a lot of mistakes on a very routine play that should have been for us.
You mentioned Jimmy Madranda first and the misstep that he makes there. He's been kind of a Swiss Army knife for you. Is some of that just, you know, the fact that he's moved around and hasn't gotten comfortable, or is that just maybe some of his inexperience still there, and in a year or two, after more minutes on the field, he won't make that mistake?
More of the second. It's a habit that we have to break in him a little bit, and that is he always wants to go win the ball from the guy, and that's not necessarily the right decision all the time being on the back line. A lot of times you have to delay the situation because you don't want to give up space. You're protecting space as opposed to dealing with a man. And what he did was he attacked a man but gave up space. And so he really, the guy who was on the ball didn't have to do anything because Jimmy made the decision for him. If Jimmy stays, now the guy has to, you know, thread the needle, and more than likely he's not going and you're going to win the ball.
Let's talk about getting the goal. Shelton finally breaks free for his first goal. How rewarding is that, and how much does that now hopefully open the floodgate for him?
Yeah, I'm really happy for him because I think I've mentioned this to you before. He does so many things for us on the field. You know, for him to finally get a goal is good for him and good for his confidence. I think all the guys were happy for him as well. At the same time, one of the things that he has to also get is he has to get a little more selfish, because there are situations where he gets in good positions and he winds up passing to somebody when he should take the shot himself. So he's going to have to become a little more selfish. I'm hoping that, you know, for his sake, for our sake, that now he's gotten a taste of it a little bit, and that hunger is going to be there more and more, which hopefully makes him a little more selfish. And, you know, he starts banging in, you know, some more goals and at a higher rate, for sure.
Are you comfortable with where the offense is? You've gotten back to playing the kind of defense you played last year. The goal scoring, which was, you know, unsustainable, I recognize, with the numbers you were putting up early on. Are you still comfortable with the production you're getting offensively? We know you're playing without Gutierrez, and so it's a work in progress, and you're having to reestablish chemistry. But it's been a little while with him out. Are you comfortable with where you are as far as the offense goes?
I am. I think we have a lot of different guys that can put it in the back of the net, which is great. You know, now we're starting to get it off of set pieces as well. And that's a place I think that we could be really dangerous with our guys. And we have some guys that it's one thing to have the guys that can get in there and, you know, they got good timing in the box, or they can, you know, they're athletic or what have you. But you also have to have really good service. And with guys like Zeus and Johnny Russell with their service, it changes the game a little bit. And so, yeah, I do. I feel like we're good on the offensive side. I think we're getting better and better defensively. And then the other piece is that, you know, now we're coming into the summer months. And what's going to be important around the summer months is being able to keep the ball. Because in that heat, it becomes a factor. If you don't keep the ball, you're going to be chasing the game a lot. And so our possession has been really good, and I think that's something that we're going to have to make sure is a huge asset of ours going forward. And then the last piece is we constantly got to keep making sure that we're, you know, and you heard me say this before, sporting fit, being able to play our style at a very high pace for long durations, you know, during the game. And so it's another thing that we're working on as we speak to try to make sure that what we have is we have the ability to play at a very high intensity for good bouts of the game.
We're talking to Sporting Kansas City manager Peter Vermees here in the program. They'll take on Columbus 5 o'clock on Sunday, sportingkc.com, where you can get tickets. Of course, our sporting coverage always brought to you by Corona, Corona Light, and the new Corona Premier. Peter, Columbus comes in red hot. They have not given up a goal since April 28th. They have not lost since April 14th, 4-0-2. In that time frame, what turned the corner for them? What are they doing so well?
You know, I've always said that one of the things I like when Greg took over there is that he immediately tried to implement a style play and really stuck to it. Didn't abandon it when, you know, in the beginning when he wasn't getting results. He's pretty resolute to what he was trying to do, and he was really, even though they were making mistakes, he was still you know, staying committed to what he believed in. And I think that has paid off for them. I think they have proven that they have a little bit of what we have, and that is you can, when one guy's out, you can plug and play, and you can keep going and, you know, not drop off that much. And so he's also, again, maybe taking a little bit of a page from our book in the way that he's also dealt with player personnel decisions, in that, you know, player wants a, you know, wants a new contract, one in which they don't think that they can afford, they're not afraid to move the guy, and they don't get pushed into, you know, making bad decisions like that. And I think that's helped them. And it's probably gained a lot of respect within, you know, the core group of their team. And I think they have a good culture. I think they have a good model of play. And I think they have good players. And like I said, I think they do a good job of being in a small market, similar to the way I think we do things, in that they realize they have to do it a little different way than some of these bigger market clubs that go out and spend a lot of money.
We talked a couple of weeks ago about Atlanta and the money they're spending. They're spending more money. Is that good for the game? I mean, you know, we've talked about how much the league respects and admires what you guys are doing, that you're and you're spending more money now. I'm not trying to act like you're the little sisters of the poor. There's been a plan and a buildup to what you wanted to do, get the support pieces around so that you can add those more expensive pieces that are finishers and make it all come together. But, I mean, big money. Atlanta's coming in and just throwing a lot of money at it because they got another guy that they're, you know, after already spending, that they're coming out and talking about spending upwards of $5 million on. Is that good for the game ultimately?
I think it is. I think that, you know, when you look at the world market, you look at the kind of money that's spent on transfers and salaries, you know, we're not even close, right? But at the same time, I don't think there's one way to build a roster or to run a club. And everybody has different resources that are available to them. And they also have to take consideration, you know, other variables that they help you in a way decide on who you can be. And then the question is, do you put the plan together to become that? And I think for them, if you look at the players that they've added, a lot of them are on the attacking side. They're a very dynamic team going forward. At the same time, it doesn't necessarily equate always into success. I mean, even look at LA. I mean, you have Ibrahimovic, right? Started out on fire, but scored one goal in the last seven games or something. So it just depends on how you do it. and what your results are. I do think the interesting thing is going to be is a couple of these young players that Atlanta have purchased, if they, over the next couple of years, develop a little bit more and they wind up selling the player for more than they purchased them, that is then going to be, I think, the big step for our league. Because when you're buying a guy for $15 million and you sell him for $20, that now is a threshold that our league has not reached yet. And so if we can get there, then what it does is it opens the floodgates, because now the player coming out of MLS is now being perceived to be much more expensive than maybe in the past. And so that changes the economics big time in our league, and it'll be a help to everybody.
Peter, last question before we get to our Final Four, and that is the NFL announced their policy on how they're going to what they want the players and what the penalties will be if they choose to kneel for the anthem. We've talked about this in the past. I'm just curious your reaction to the policy that was out there. We've had a lot of people in the NBA weigh in on it as a guy that's on the front line of a major sporting organization. What's your reaction to it?
I have a simple way that I look at this. I think that when you are on the job for your employer, I think you're to that's your time that you have to respect what the wishes are of your employer. I think it's easy. Listen, if I don't, I'll give you an example. If I've said this a million times, if a guy wants to strike, right? If a guy wants to make a statement, I have no problem with that, and I support it 100% because I think you should be able to do that. I believe in that, right? I believe in the freedom of the country. But at the same time, there's also, you can go do that on your own time. So if a guy wants to make a statement, hey, go, when training's over, you know, when football practice is over, and you're done having to go through your film sessions and all that, go stand on the street corner down the street. Pick it. Go do it on your own time. My parents were immigrants that came to this country in 1956, okay? They had to escape from their country. They came to this country to have a better life for their family. And, I mean, my parents were born in a different country, and they had so much respect for this country that gave them the opportunity to provide the life for their family. I mean, I think this is the best country in the world. You know, I understand that people have not everything's perfect in this country at the same time. And if you want to make your statements, I think you do that on your own time. I don't think you do it on the time of your employer or your business or whatever. Now, if it's your own business and you want to do that, fair enough. But if it's someone else's, I think you have to respect the policies, the rules of your employer. I think it's really simple.
Peter Vermees is with us. He is the manager for Sporting Kansas City. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by Mosquito Squad. Go to kansascity.mosquitosquad.com to get signed up today. I will start you with this, Peter, as we head into the weekend. What are you best at on the grill?
I think I'm great with steak and chicken. You give me seafood, unbelievable. I can do a stir fry on the grill. I mean, I can do it all. I'm not the preparation guy. I'm not getting the chicken ready. I'm not marinating it. My wife is the queen of that. I'm not doing any of that.
That's good. You're out front getting it done, but also a team effort. I like that. Keeping with your manager side, that's great. All right. What advice do you have for Fast Talking Rob, who will be performing in the media game, which this year is going to be the old school, take the ball from midfield and dribble it in, and it's a shootout, but it's the dribble up shootout, and then you turn around and after you shoot, you're the goalie for the next guy. What advice do you have for Fast Talking Rob and how to perform well?
When you start, you need to have a really good long first touch in front of you, right? You have to play the ball out in front of you so you can get into your rhythm of your run. You need to just then take one more touch, and then you should pick your spot where you're going to shoot. And the whole thing then from there is that it's transition. You have to forget about whether you missed or you scored. you got to be locked in to now becoming a goalkeeper right away. The transition is going to be very important because you can get ticked off if you miss and waste your time thinking about it, and then the other guy comes up and scores, right? Because you weren't ready.
Rob was listening intently. If he fails, he has been given everything he needs to be a huge success. If he does not score and then turn around and get the save, we're going to be hugely disappointed when that comes about. Everyone can see Rob. 5 o'clock Sunday is game time. Columbus coming in to play Sporting Kansas City. Todd Lebo will be out there as well. And, of course, I have smartly chosen to take my name out of the mix so as not to embarrass myself. Next question. For you, when will you see Solo?
You're talking about the movie. Sorry. I thought you were talking about Hope Solo. I was like, what? My son will hit me up. I'm sure here shortly. It's one of the things I kind of do with my son, and he's a big movie guy.
Right.
So it's something that we do to kind of hang out together. So I'm sure he'll hit me up here in the next. Whatever, probably a few days to early next week.
Daughter and I saw it last night. If you like the Star Wars, universe, you will enjoy it. If you don't, then this isn't the one to start yourself on the series. But I think you'll enjoy it. You'll like some of the backstory. And finally, and I think this is most important, when do you begin the trash talk with the Illigs about the Rutgers KU game that's coming to Lawrence this fall?
Well, I'm wondering. First, when is that game? Do you know?
I will look it up. I'm thinking it's September 18th. It's the third game for the Jayhawks. So I'll tell you that date just here in 1 second.
If it's September 18th, that actually would work for me. I actually could go to that game. So that's one of those games where
15th. Saturday, 15th. September 15th.
Shoot, we're playing away at the Earthquake, so I can't go to it with them, but. Actually, when will I start? Probably early September.
It's quite a showdown. I mean, I think it's got to be the headliner of the college football world that weekend, don't you think?
No, it's going to be unbelievable, that game. It's going to be big time.
It's going to be epic.
Can't wait.
No doubt. Peter, always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. Best of luck on Sunday, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Ren. Appreciate it.